Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to the Inspired Conversations radio show. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational magazine for women since 2006. You know, I get excited when I cross paths with a woman that I have so much in common with, right? A woman who's as passionate as I am about getting a message out to other women about living their best life. And when I received this book that is A Year of Inspired Living, I started giggling because you all know if you follow my brand, that's my message. It's about living from the inside out. That's what inspired living means to me. And in a moment, I'm going to bring on my guest. I want to hear what inspired living means to her. So for me, inspired living is living this passionate, joyful, inspired life and making decisions from the inside out. So whether it's my publishing company, Inspired Living Publishing, or one of my other brands, it's a message I'm passionate about. So when this book crossed my path, I'm like, I have got to have Kelly on the show. So joining me today is Kelly McGrath-Martinson, the publisher of Natural Awakenings Long Island, part of the family of Natural Awakenings magazines. A former pharmaceutical company manager, Martinson now sews connections in the wellness and inspiration world and is at work on future books about living an evolved life, raising conscious children, and applying the power of faith. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
Well, you know, as we were talking off air, this just sometimes you just energetically meet someone and you're like, okay, this woman's on a mission. We may do things different, right? But we have this. I feel like we're both pulled from the inside out to do the work that we're doing.
For sure. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what a life difference, right? From pharmaceutical company manager to running one of the popular franchises of the Natural Awakenings family in Long Island. How did you get from that career choice to the wonderful work you're doing now?
Sure, sure. And you know, it's funny because it's all sort of, it's like a 15-year time frame that there'll be dots connected, and I'll explain what I mean. So when I first was married, had kids, I was working a career as a pharmaceutical/biotech manager, and I was climbing this corporate ladder, and, you know, I had one idea of what my life was going to look like and what it was going to be, and it was going to be, you know, this successful marriage, these two healthy kids, this, you know, sort of high-powered job. It's what I viewed for my future, and slowly things started to erode. My husband was diagnosed with a very rare bile duct cancer. Right before that, my son, who was 4 at the time, was diagnosed with a even more rare form of epilepsy called Landau-Kleffner, which is often confused with a type of autism, but it's actually a seizure disorder. So I'm taking this one path that I think I'm supposed to be on, and then little things keep stopping me, and then I'm running, and I'm now in the role of caregiver for two people and also trying to still climb this career path. And, you know, my priorities were my husband and my child, and working to keep them healthy and to get them the best doctors and to get them diagnosed and into remission. And during that time period, you know, the job kind of goes on the back burner. And once I got them all healthy and well, I was ready to focus on my job. They let me go. So kind of the decision was made for me that I had to look at to do something else. And so I would just scribble on my notepad. I was laid off with a severance where I couldn't compete in another biopharmaceutical company because I knew certain things. So there I am. I have 18 months. Everybody's healthy and stable, and I'm looking for something to do. And I kept scribbling and note writing and just writing, you know, prevention. I worked in cancer before. I didn't want to meet the patients that I was meeting anymore. I wanted to do something that prevented anyone ever meeting those patients again. So I kept writing prevention. And no sooner did I start journaling or scribbling, at the time I wouldn't have even called it journaling, no sooner did I start scribbling and I open up Natural Awakenings Long Island and it's for sale. Somebody else had started it. But it's funny, the person who was selling the magazine said that for sale ad was in there for 6 months. But I was never conscious. I was never awakened to it until I started writing down prevention, until I started seeing this word and what I wanted to do. And then fast forward 5 years, I'm running the magazine. I'm hopefully inspiring people to lead these healthy lives and writing these editorial letters. And people are contacting me and saying, oh, I loved your letter this month. It really spoke to me. And, you know, so all roads sort of led back to writing, and that my writing was not only helping me, but it was helping other people. So that's a very long answer to your question.
I love it, though, because it's how I live my life, Kelly. It's always been almost like trusting, allowing, and taking time to receive. And you would call it, you know, like doodling or scribbling. But really, I believe, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, I believe your soul, right, your essence, the truth of who you are, was giving you hints of your next path, even though it didn't make sense to your logical mind. Like, were you asking yourself, why the heck am I writing this word over and over again?
I kind of was, and then I was Googling it. The word, just that prevention word, was just owning me, you know? So, yeah, it's exactly what you said. It was my soul or my essence, sort of saying, this is what you want to do. And allowing myself the time to write was never something I had done before. But writing is for me, and writing, I think, is my way of connecting with others. So even just writing alone kind of expanded to now me writing publisher letters, which expanded to me writing books. And then people are commenting and telling me, you know, I'm connecting with this. I thank you for this. So
it validated that you were on the right path. So now you've owned the magazine for, what, 5 years?
Mm-hmm, 5 years, and it's been a great time. I mean, it wasn't without struggle. I don't want anybody to think, like, oh, I bought this magazine, I invested all this money, and it was so easy, because it definitely was. The first 3 years were really tough, and I would say now I'm in a place where it's a little bit easier. The brand is a little bit stronger on Long Island. But, yeah, the first three years were very touch and go. And I will tell you this, the day I bought the magazine, I think I bought it October 14th or 15th, you know, sometime in October, and I bought all these contracts, the existing contracts, you buy all this stuff, and I set up an office, a nice office in my basement on Long Island in Long Beach, and 10 days later, Hurricane Sandy came through, wiped out that office along with a couple of other rooms in my house, and sort of reset me, and you know, that was very interesting, to say the least.
It's almost like clearing out the old, but it took some of the new with it, too.
Yeah, it really cleared out the new, and it definitely rocked me. I was like, oh, my God, I just put all this money into buying these contracts that just got washed literally into the sea, you know.
And what kept you going? I'd love to hear how did you stay in faith?
I would say, one, I didn't think I had a choice. Like, failure, you know, not to be cliche, but failure was not an option. It's never been for me, whether it was facing my, you know, husband's disease or my kid's disease or the, you know, magazine being washed out to sea. It just wasn't an option. So it was with a little bit of struggle. You know, a lot of times I do a lot of sit back and, like, let's see what the universe says. Let's see what God says. Let's see. But in that instance, it was more of a fight. That was a different approach. It was more like, oh, no, this is going to be successful. I just really reached out to all my advertisers who I'd never met before and let them know, you know, assured them that this magazine was going to be a success regardless of what was going on with my home, regardless of what was going on Long Beach as an island. And I think reassuring them, the process of reassuring them, simply reassured me. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I do know what you mean. And I also can really relate to your struggles the first 3 years, because I started Aspire. We just entered the 12th year, and I didn't have any publishing background. I just had a desire to serve through the message.
Yep.
And the first 3.5 years, she was actually a print magazine regional in southern New England. And I remember the struggles of like, what am I doing? Am I crazy? And I was producing large women's events also, which thankfully were so successful. I did 2 a year. Were so successful, it helped me keep Aspire afloat. And then in late 2009, I decided to go digital. And now she's a gorgeous digital flip page. And it was the best decision I ever made. And I grew tremendously since then. But I remember those years. So anyone out there, if you think starting a magazine and continuing to run it is easy, it's not. But if you're committed to your message, you can make it through.
Right. And that's exactly it. That it was so tied to what I wanted. Natural Awakenings, feel good, live simply, laugh more. That's our tagline. And that's just my own tagline before I even met Natural Awakenings. And I just kept saying, like, if I can bring this to Long Island, like you said, I really believed that I was doing something good. So, okay, I lost my contracts. Okay, I'm going to have to rebuild the bottom of my house. I still think, and okay, this magazine's in the red for a few years, I still think this is what I'm meant to do. Like, I think there's just such a great opportunity here to bring this message to Long Island. Because really, what if everybody lived simply, laughed more? You know, it's so basic, but so nice. You know?
Yeah, it's what we all yearn for.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Even though we might not use those same exact words, I think internally it's the life we all yearn for.
Right. If we're true, it is. Because I think initially when I first came out of college and I had this, you know, I'm from New York and I worked in the city for a couple of years. And so initially what I was yearning for was sort of that I want to be an executive and I want to have the big house and the two kids. And if they want to go to private school, you know, I sort of had and I think that's why it's interesting for me, because I had those goals at one point that my identity was going to be tied into this business executive. And really that would mean tying into traveling and being away from my family and being away and my kids, having my kids sort of, and even the disease that we faced, that changed all that. And so there's sort of a blessing in being fired, excuse me, and being fired, or a blessing in disease, you know?
Oh, exactly. It's sometimes I call it getting recalibrated, right? It's like when you have this internal shift of what's important. So we're going to go to
you can see it.
Exactly, and you can. And we're going to go to our first break. And when we come back, Kelly, I want to talk about what made you and motivated you to write A Year of Inspired Living. And we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Inspired Conversations, and with me today is Kelly McGrath-Martinson, publisher of Natural Awakenings Long Island and the author of A Year of Inspired Living. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine. Inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. between Heaven and Earth Radio is Conscious Living for Your Soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. So, Kelly, what led you to write a book? And write a book that is not just, what I love about it is the year, A Year of Inspired Living actually incorporates the reader into it, which is a lot like the books that we publish at Inspired Living Publishing. It's like you wanted them to be part of writing their own story.
Absolutely. That was a huge part for me. And I'll tell you why. You know, as I'm writing the book or writing my publisher letters, they were always really, and I think why they were successful as publisher letters is because they were always letters written. I would really write them to myself. Like, yes, they were to the readers, but they were really to me. You know, I don't think, I would love to be sort of as evolved and as conscious. I would love to live what I'm putting on paper. And I don't. I can't. I try, but I fail daily, weekly, monthly, minute by minute. You know what I'm saying? So I know that if I'm writing a letter, I'm being kind. I want to be kind. I want to be patient. But then 20 minutes later, I'll go to a party, and somebody will just invariably, they'll get on my nerves. They'll do something, and my reaction won't be what I want it to be. And when I come back home, I'm writing my letter, and I'm thinking, oh, I feel so hypocritical. And so it was almost that, but I'm not. This letter is for me to remind me, okay, yesterday or today, you were not what you wanted to be. You were human. You were annoyed. You were whatever. But you're going to take 5 or 10 minutes, and you're going to write your letter to yourself. For me, it goes into the publishing of the magazine. But I would take that time and just hope that by writing, my next encounter would be maybe a little bit more kind, a little bit more patient, a little bit more of how I want to publish myself. And I just thought that if everybody had this opportunity to write a publisher letter every month or every week, then maybe taking that time to sort of reset or recorrect or recalibrate would create just a kinder humanity, maybe.
Oh, I love that. I love, like, I can feel your energy and passion. Yeah, but I believe personally that vulnerability is the key to connection, is the key to helping someone shift. When we show up without the masks.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
This book is vulnerable. I don't know if you've read the whole thing.
I got through the first few chapters, and that's what I mean. That's why I wanted you on the show, because you're raw, you're real, you really share your journey and your truth. And because of that, that's where connection will come with the reader.
And that's what we're seeing so far, which is nice. You know, the feedback I'm getting, people saying, oh, I thought it was just me. I get a lot of that. People who've started to read it will email me or Facebook me and say, it's so crazy. I thought it was just me. And, you know, I think that's a line in my book. I say, you know, I'm sharing with you, warts and all of my crazy. And then I write, because I think y'all got some crazy, too. I think we all do. We can't help but have a little bit of crazy. You know?
Exactly. We're human.
We're human, yeah. But we all want to be better, right? I think so. That's the goal with the book. And that's why when I wrote the book initially, there wasn't space for other people to write or for the readers to write. And I kept reading it and saying, I don't, this book isn't good. I'm not going to turn it into publishers. There's something missing. And it sort of dawned on me one summer that what it needed was a space for it to truly be a self-help book, because it needed to be self, you know?
And I got to tell you something, your intuition was right, because since 2010, all our books at Inspired Living Publishing, they're sacred anthologies, all women, all heart-centered entrepreneurs, and guess what? After every story is custom journaling prompts
because, like you,
that's great.
Yeah, we've had, I think, we just released our eighth book. We have another one with a client coming out in February and another anthology coming out in the fall. But the reason I bring that up is I was the same way. I did, because I've been on the personal development path for 25 years, and it sounds like some of our internal processing works the same. I knew when I came up with this in 2010 that I said, you know what? I know how I was when I first got on the path. I don't want a woman to read a story and go have it bring up issues, right, triggers, and then do what I used to do, which was, oh, I don't like this uncomfortable feeling that's coming up, and just turn the page and go to the next story.
Yeah,
I wanted to stop her and make her go inward, and that's why I loved your book, because I resonate so much with that, because we all want to rush through life and not tune in to what we're feeling, but until we do, we can't shift, we can't change, we can't heal.
Right, 100%.
Yeah.
And I also didn't want people to read it and go, oh, forget it, what does she know? Because the truth is, I say right in the beginning, I know nothing. I only know my experience, the things I want for me, and that if I leave you this page, you can find your own experience, you know?
Yeah, because I found on my own healing journey, but also publishing the books, tell me if you found this, that when you read another woman's story, whether it's in like an issue of Natural Awakening, your book, my book, it doesn't matter where, right? But sometimes when you read a story that's written with such authenticity and vulnerability, there is this, I believe, a soul-to-soul connection where you go, oh, wow, she's so real. It doesn't matter if she's a CEO of a company. Look at how much everyone loves Oprah.
Yep,
they love her because she's real. So then that encourages a woman to dive a little deeper into her truth. And like you said,
absolutely,
open a page in your book and start writing her feelings, her truth, because she feels safe because she just heard your truth.
Right, absolutely. And again, the truth that I share is vulnerable. You know, it's raw. It's this is me. And if I'm willing to share it with millions of readers, then feel safe to share it here in your alone private space, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I really connected with your mission behind the book is.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you, because it was scary to do that. I will tell you, I kept going back and forth with my editor, Christine, saying, I don't know. So, you know, what if they don't like me if they read this or that chapter, you know?
No, I got to tell you, it's the opposite. Like, I've shared my story on national TV and it with my audience. I was a former welfare mom, runaway, high school dropout, all that. For many years of my life, probably till my late 30s, maybe mid-30s, I hid all that because it was a shame behind those labels. It wasn't until I healed the labels, right, that I could do the work I'm doing now. By writing your book and being so vulnerable, even when, you're white-knuckling it, like, I'm not going to publish this book.
The neighbors are going to read it.
Yes, you give other women permission to own their own wounds.
And you know what? That's exactly the hope. That was exactly my thought process.
And I wanted to tell you, too, the cover's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you
beautiful.
So
I have it in my hand, and I forgot to start the conversation with that. It's gorgeous. And one of the things, too, is, I know you must be here, and I know the book is pretty recent at the time of this taping, but what, like your reflections, you know, what are you good at? This is on one of the chapters. What are you good at that you can share with the world? How often do women forget that they're good at many things? We don't own it.
Yeah, or forget or don't give themselves time to say, oh, you know what, I might be good at this. I painted, once or twice. I might, so we don't own it. We don't give ourselves time to try it, to delve deeper into it. Yeah.
It's so true, but don't you have conversations with your friends, sitting around maybe with a glass of wine or a cup of tea, and it's those deep conversations that get real past the shallow stuff. Like one of my mentors call it, it's level 3 conversations. Right? No, none of the shallow level one, hey, what's up, and then go to level two. It's let's dive deep into what's real, not all the stuff that the little act that we have to put on. That's what I feel your book is about. Like, let's go level 3, baby.
Yeah, well, it's funny. We have I have a different term for it. I run with two girls, and we run, you know, the boardwalk in Long Beach, and it's 4 miles. And literally, you know, when we need to go deep or we need to talk, we go, okay, running box. Like, everything in here is sacred. It's the running box conversation. You know, you can really share your fears, your dreams, your meetings with psychics, whatever it is that you would not share with everybody, you share it. We share in the running box. So, you know, it's a similar thing. Yeah, and that's what I, when I was writing the book, that's what I kept hoping. Like, I kept thinking, I'm so lucky. I have my running box, you know, but other people don't. And so, again, that I really wanted the book to be a conversation. Here's my story. Here's your story. Here's my story. Here's your story. And that's why it was important for those pages to be, you know, blank for the interaction.
Yeah, that's, like I said, that's what connected to me, because it's what all my brands operate on, so it's what I'm passionate about with getting my clients to do. And, yeah, of course, I love the name of the book because it resonates so much with me. So when we come back, we're going to go to our next break. When we come back, let's dive into, because I know that you believe journaling is so important. I want to talk about why. And if this book is just for people who already actively journal, or if it's for beginners too.
Great.
And we'll be back in a moment with Kelly McGrath-Martinson of AYEAROFINSPIREDLIVING.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Experience a homecoming to your heart. In the foreword of Dr. Deborah Riebel's new book, Being Love, How Loving Yourself Creates Ripples of Transformation in Your Relationships and the World, Marcy Shymoff shares, the answer to our inner longing isn't finding love, it's being love. The practices that Dr. Deborah presents in Being Love are keys to opening your heart and receiving your divine birthright as a physical manifestation of love. Her techniques, developed over years of successful private practice with her clients and from her extensive training in multiple disciplines, are accessible, compassionate, and effective. Her message is powerful, and if you allow it, will change your whole life. Order your copy of Being Love today at beinglovebook.com and receive over 45 transformational gifts. Being Love is brought to you by Inspired Living Publishing.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, everyone. This is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. With me today is the author of A Year of Inspired Living, Kelly. Journaling, we were just talking about that. You encourage them to journal. Why do you feel journaling is so important?
The biggest thing, I just said
Oh, I say it all the time, so you're right, you feel right at home.
One of the biggest reasons is literally just because I need people to slow down. I think, you know, I look at so many of my friends and family, and everybody's running and everything is fast. It's fast food. It's fast, you know, you're binging. You're binging everything from wine to Netflix to food. And we're not giving ourselves permission to slow down. And people say, well, I can't slow down because I can't do an hour-long yoga class, or I can't do a 20-minute transcendental meditation, or, you know, there's all these reasons why you can't slow down. And I think journaling, it doesn't have to be that much longer than a pause. And there's different ways to do it. Obviously, you could do gratitude journaling. You could do journaling, you know, reflective journaling, futuristic sort of planning journaling, blueprint journaling. There's tons of ways to do it. But the main benefit that I really see is it's the pause. It's the stop, you know, and that's what I love about it. Like, just, and I'm lucky because I get to justify my journaling, a lot of it, as a, well, I got to do it for work, you know. So in a way, I'm guilty of that same thing where I'm not really slowing down because I do have to do it as part of my, you know, magazine. And but it really, I think if everybody even takes 1 minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes to journal, I think they just will have better experiences within their own lives, you know.
I think in that moment that you're journaling, as I share with my clients, it's a moment where you're out of your head. Because in the world, we have so much coming at us that we always have to be up there that we forget what it feels like to drop down into our body, into our heart, right? And even if it's 5 minutes, that's a gift you're giving yourself.
Yeah.
So I really agree. And I'm not a, you know, I'm not an avid journaler. I'm not someone that journals every single day. But here's what's funny. My mother would laugh if I said that. I've been collecting journals for like 30 years, journals in good quality pens. Right? And, you know, everyone says, but you hardly ever journal. I go, it's okay, but when I'm ready, they're there. But here's the thing. When I need to have a conversation with myself, that's where I go. So I may not do it daily, but I know how important it is. And when I do it, it's always at those deepest breakthroughs and that connection for me. You know, and so I wanted to share that because I know there's a lot of people in my community who go, I can't journal every day. I'm like, well, stop using the word can't. Stop judging yourself if you don't, and just start wherever you are. And I noticed on one of the pages, it's in the month of February, it's the manifest essay. And in that section, in the after, it's reflections, and it says, in this space, draw or simply doodle pictures of your visions, the things you want. This is a great creative exercise that doesn't take much time and really helps you key into your desires. I really love that one, and it shows some doodles that you did. And to me, that because I'm such a creative and I'm someone that's visual, that really resonates with me. So I love how you mixed it all together.
Yeah, we have a few of those little, like, points where we have an inspiration station and, where we ask, just write and see what happens, you know?
So what's next for you? I hear you mentioned that you're doing workshops.
Yes, I'm doing a few workshops right now on Long Island. I'll be in Florida to do one in Boca Raton in February. Other than that, we're doing a few Facebook Lives. We're going live on the first of the month to introduce the chapter each month for the readers. And, you know, looking at maybe doing a line extension for the book, because so far the response has been really, really, really good. So we're looking at maybe, you know, another year inspired or, you know, something for 2019.
Yeah, and you could do it as a yearly.
I certainly could.
You really could. Let me give you a Facebook page, too, since you mentioned Facebook Lives. Her Facebook page is A Year of Inspired Living. And make sure you swing by there and visit Kelly, enjoy the lives. And also, in your bio, I had mentioned that you are you considering more books aside from A Year of Inspired Living?
I am. I'm working right now. Very long story short, I was working on a book about faith and incorporating more faith into your life, and it was close to being done, I would say, and October must not be a good month for me in general because it was almost done in October. And October 14th, we had a house fire, and our house was demolished, and my computer with my book in it was burnt. So I have to reevaluate and get back to, you know, I have to have faith that book is still supposed to be written, and I have to get pen to paper and start writing it. But that was, I did have a book almost complete about a year of faithful living and just having faith and incorporating faith and going back to faith you might have had as a child or finding a new faith, but just having faith in something other than yourself. Because I think that my own faith was something that helped me do everything that I've wanted to do thus far in my life.
So same here.
That was the process of the book and the thought process of the book. And I still think it's going to be rewritten at some point.
I think that there's a purpose behind whatever had happened. Maybe you needed to go through that experience to build your faith even stronger, so that energy will go into the book, right? But I have a question. So that was October. Wasn't Sandy in October when you...
Oh, yeah, it was. October. Next year, I'm sleeping through the... From the 1st to the 31st. Wake me up Halloween night. Yeah. Yeah, so October has not been historically a good month for me.
Well, you'll have to shift and change that. And I have to say... My birthday's in October, so there's one good thing about October.
All right. That's a good thing. And actually, you know what, if you reframe the way you look at anything, you know, I don't look at Sandy as a horrible thing, and I write about it in the book. Because of Sandy, I got to experience Linda, our mutual friend, she talks about the power of we. And wow, there was nothing like the power of we that I got to see because of Sandy. And you know, that just experience was amazing, just seeing community and neighbors who hated each other and didn't speak to each other for years, helping each other get houses and getting each other gas from the gas lines. You know, it just was a really, I think that was a transformative experience. If I, you know, you get a choice to look at it two ways. You could look at it like, oh, wow, it was awful. And it was awful. And I was lucky in that I only lost one third of my house, and it was just my office space. Other people lost full houses. But even with that, you know, I just keep trying to focus on what I gained. And even with this fire, I had the same experience. So before my house was even completely put out, my driveway was filled with just friends and, you know, neighbors, and they're bringing socks and underwear, you know. And so, again, I when I think of the fire, while it was devastating, and, you know, the loss of stuff was awful. You know, it was, again, it's nice to be able to say, okay, it was just stuff. And you know what? Look, I had so much real everything in my driveway. You know, my people, my friends, my even acquaintances, people I barely knew, dropping off, you know, a $25 gift card or something. Just, you know, just getting to experience humanity.
It was a gift.
Yeah, it was a gift. I mean, I wouldn't... If I had to do it over again, I don't think I would choose that because it was a terrible experience. But since I don't get a choice on whether or not it happened, then I can only look at the best
Exactly, Kelly.
The only choice
we have is how our reaction to things.
Yep, how we frame things, what glasses we put them on, you know.
Exactly. And we're going to go to our last break, and then we're going to come back. In something I read about you, it could have been your bio or on one of your web pages, you were considering a book on conscious children, which is one of my favorite topics. I am blessed to have two grandchildren, a 6-year-old and a 17-year-old, and they're just such bright lights and empaths and sensitive and loving, and I want to talk more about that topic. And we'll be back in a moment with Kelly McGrath-Martinson of AYearOfInspiredLiving.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Isn't it time for you to listen to your own internal compass, your intuition, rather than listening to all those around you? When you learn how to navigate using your intuition, you'll discover how to hear your soul's whispers so you live a life of purpose, joy, and abundance. Soulwise Living mentor Laura Clark provides women with the empowering tools and support to help them tame their inner critic, calm their emotions, and ground themselves so they can hear, trust, and act upon their inner guidance. If you're ready to awaken your intuition, visit soulwiseliving.com to schedule a complimentary sacred soul chat, read Laura's inspiring blog posts, and discover an array of free supportive resources.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Kelly, the author of A Year of Inspired Living. So, Kelly, what does conscious children, what's that phrase mean to you?
It's sort of loaded. And I think it just means, for me, it means present. They need to be present. It's almost impossible for them to be present because they've got such digital exposure, whether it's their cell phone personally, whether it's in the classroom with the digital media. It's very hard for these kids to be present where they are. I mean, I just had a conversation with my daughter. She was at a friend's house, and she was having this great time, but yet when she looked on social media, there was something else going on somewhere else, and, you know, that took away. Now, all of a sudden, she wasn't having a good time. Do you know what I mean? So,
yes.
For children to be conscious, they have to be present, and they're just not. And I think limiting screen time is a huge one, especially for the younger children, mainly because you can control that better. You know, as they become teens, they're around you less often, so you can definitely, you know, there's apps to
But if you give the teens, like I have the grandson that's going to be 18 in June, and then the little one that just turned 6, my daughter believes in raising them. Like, she still hand makes all McKenna's food and everything is organic. No screen time. When she will get a movie, but it has to be something, you know, purchase a movie. But it has to be all the simple stuff. And guess what she loves to do? She loves crafts. She loves make-believe. She loves anything to do with her imagination. She actually loves reading. She's already started reading kindergarten. She just, it's all inward reflection instead of outward. Now, my grandson, we didn't, you know, she raised by my stepson, different energy. They love TVs and digital world, and he is glued to his phone. Now, I know that is the generation, as you said, but it's sad.
It is sad. And, you know, it's sad to see what's going to be left 20 years from now or 10 years from now. What sort of, you know, you can't even have a conversation. These children don't know how to have attention to a conversation, you know.
Exactly.
So much, if you look at these phones, it's, you know, 5 screens up at once on this little phone. And, you know, if you didn't have ADD before, you're just, you've got learned ADD now, you know.
Well, the thing is, for me, is they're not learning to, you know, the ones that are growing up in the digital, like him, but even more so the little ones now, like the granddaughter that's 6. Thankfully, my daughter is a very conscious parent, but she has friends at school, and McKenna doesn't even know what half the stuff they're talking about is because she's never been exposed to it.
Right.
And what's happening is those who are exposed to so much technology, they don't know how to emotionally or socially connect.
Yeah.
And
it's easier for them to be mean.
Yes.
They're behind a screen, and it's easier for them to be unkind and indifferent and sort of all the things you don't want your child to be.
Exactly. And so, you know, you may use different words to describe conscious child, but really it's the same. It's living a present, aligned life with values, you know, with emotional maturity and spiritual maturity. It's like being able, the biggest thing I think will be lacking in a lot of children in the digital age is empathy.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, and that breaks my heart, especially for sensitives. Like, both my green kids are sensitives. You know, so they pick up on the energies and the nuances of a conversation because they can tap into that energy of, you know, my granddaughter, if she sees something,
I'll give an example. We walk into our favorite ice cream store, and you know how somebody has the expression, it's just their natural way. Some people just have a natural expression where it looks like they're frowning.
Yes.
She was 28 months old, and it was the cook in the kitchen who was the sweetest man. He's a big man named Reuben. And he walked out of the kitchen, but he has a natural face that looks like he's frowning. She was only 3 feet away from him. He didn't look at her. She walked by, and she said to, she calls me Amma, Amma and Papa. She says, "Why is that man so upset and angry?" And we said, "Oh," and he heard her. Yeah, and we said, "Oh, honey, he's not." And she says, "But he seems to be." That's how sensitive she was.
Yeah.
Do you know this man was so sweet? He said it tore his heart out when he heard her say that. So he waited 15 minutes later, and he came out very slowly because he's a big man, and he said,
right.
He smiled, and she's looking at him now like, "Oh, no, the man is back." And he smiled, and he said, "You know, sometimes when I'm walking by, I have something on my mind. I forget to smile. Thank you for reminding me to smile." Do you know, every time she went in there, which was often, he would always give her a couple French fries, and she'd always, I want to cry. She always said after that, "Mama, there's the man that was sad that I made happy."
Happy, yeah.
And that's what I want, because I want a child that can feel that deeply and care about someone, not be so disconnected that they don't even see what's around them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. I mean, that's a beautiful story. I could not agree more. Like,
how old are your children, Kel?
My children are 15 and, well, the other one's going to be 17 in 2 weeks.
So you have your hands full. You know, because they were born in the digital age.
Right. You know, it's funny. I think they were born in the digital age, but when I see the younger ones, like I have nieces who are in kindergarten, and I think it's like, for me, my daughter can still put down her phone if we say put down the phone. Like, it's not to the degree of addiction that I see in some of these younger children. Like, we didn't have iPads at
the
table, you know, because I think we missed that by maybe 3 or 4 years, which thank God we did. Now, I mean, you go to a restaurant, like, the parents just give a kid an iPad, and you know that's
no communication,
right? And no lessons. Like taking a kid to a restaurant, there's a lesson. You want them to understand it's a treat, and if you are ill behaved, then we take you out of the restaurant, and we all lose that satisfaction. You know, it's lessons for everybody. Parents who say, "Oh, my kid's well behaved." Well, maybe I learned my kid's not well behaved, and maybe I have to address. You know, but the iPad, you don't even have to, and nobody has to have a lesson. They just, everybody tunes out, that adults talk. I don't know, I'm glad that I wasn't part of that age, because I think that is what my real fear is about. So for me, my kids are teenagers, and while I do say, "Oh God, they're on their phones too much," I still can say, "Give me the phone, I have an app, I can turn off their apps," you know, I have all these things.
That can limit them.
They weren't, you know, meal-based apps, so we didn't have the TV in the car all the time, you know, where they're like, the TV's like in your headset, the back headrest of your, you know, so that, all that right now, it's just they have 24, you know, 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 24/7 access.
Exactly.
To digital. That to me is just insane. So I think that's even a bigger fear of mine is, you know.
I can hear a book coming. Well, Kelly, I want to thank you for being here, for the work you're doing in the world, and I want to.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I want to invite everyone again to visit Kelly's website at ayearofinspiredliving.com. Also, her Facebook page, A Year of Inspired Living, to catch those Facebook Lives when she starts doing them. So, thank you again, Kelly, and I invite everyone for even more inspiration. Be sure to claim your free subscription to Aspire Magazine, which includes over 50 transformational digital gifts from heart-centered conscious business leaders around the world. So you can do that at subscribe2aspire.com. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.